Okay, we're speaking with
Robin Miller.
And what organization or group are you affiliated with?
I try to stay unaffiliated, but I'm the editor-in-chief for the Open Source Development Network, owners of Slashdot, Freshmeat, Linux.com, NewsForge.
Well, one of the issues that has attracted my attention is the move from open source, open code, to proprietary, as most of the end-user software becomes more Windows-esque-like. And how is that going to shake down? There seems like there's probably 10 different companies out there that are making end-user software, and at some point, I imagine, not all of them will survive.
In the 1820s, only 5% of the railroad companies survived 10 years. We're seeing that same thing here. There's going to be a lot of shakeout. And it's hard to sell commercial software for Linux unless it's wonderful software. There was Applix, had a pretty good office suite, ran on Linux and Unix. StarOffice was free. It was put under the general public license by Sun, and they wiped out Applix. Now OpenOffice, which is a volunteer offshoot of StarOffice and much better, still free, open source, free software. And here are some nice young men from Korea with Hancom trying to sell an office suite. Their price is not high, at $50 to $100, depending on the features. It's a lot less expensive than Microsoft, right. Excuse me, I don't use their products, so it's easy for me to forget that they exist. Hancom, trying to sell this product, and very nice people, against something that's absolutely free, they are going to have it tough, aren't they?
What was the name again of this second office suite program that you mentioned? StarOffice is one, and the other was?
An extension of StarOffice called OpenOffice, and it is almost as good right now as Word, that is the Microsoft Office, or Corel's WordPerfect Office. And according to a friend of mine who's a systems administrator for a reasonably medium-sized city, that they moved completely from Windows to Linux and are saving their taxpayers, we're not sure, something around $30 million a year, we figure. They're actively participating in open office development, and they're actually trying to get the city council to spend money on it, because if they put in Microsoft Office, they don't even know how much. You know, more than $30 million a year. So you see, that's the secret and the heart of open source. The business side can all go to proprietary and succeed or fail. But as long as there are people, including governments, willing to spend money on open source software just because they want it to happen, then your commercial product has to be 10 times as good as it would have to be if it was just on that the Windows thing, that, you know, where it crashes all the time. And because they don't care, obviously, Windows users, they like viruses, right? Well, you know, that's one of those things you have to give up in Linux, and but you know, you see how it is? In Windows, you just give them viruses, and they like you, right? And they keep using it. But for Linux, to sell software, you have to be so much better than a free software that, well, hey, I'm going to use a marketing term. It's raising the bar.
Okay, so if you want to get this this other software, StarOffice, and I forgot the other name again, where would you go to get this second program?
OpenOffice.org. Yeah, I used to drive a cab in Baltimore, and it was we had a lot of mafia problems, and then finally we sued the Public Service Commission under the federal racketeering influence, corrupt, whatever, the RICO statutes, the drivers, because they were dealing with criminals and they were taking bribes and such. Now Microsoft, just like those people and some of the like Gaudis and all, are convicted federal criminals. You have to expect them to blackmail governments and or whomever is their users. It's what criminals do, right? Like, for instance, in Australia, they busted, Microsoft did, a group that was giving used computers to poor children. for misusing Microsoft Windows. Okay, that's Microsoft. Governments, they put them through these ringers. Businesses, I've actually personally gotten the Microsoft audit warning letter, and of course I told them to come on down, you know, because I don't use their stuff. But my God, yes, a school district, they can do it. They're doing it more and more. I have no idea why any government would spend taxpayers' money on their stuff to have that happen. But on the other hand, I don't run a government, do I? And I'm not running for public office.
Often I think the government is probably more corrupt than the business, or they all seem to be the same. So I get a little confused between who's who.
Well, the real thing about open source is, as opposed to, actually, I just call it source, and the other ones that hide it, we call that secret source nowadays. Open source, you get to build on the work that others did before you. So it's a much more efficient method of software development. And because it's efficient and cooperative, the smartest programmers and developers are attracted to open source. How do they get paid? Well, I mentioned a city in Florida, Largo, Florida. Well, they're contributing to the open office thing. It's a cooperative development thing because they just want to have it, and so are others elsewhere. They don't care if you use it, too. In fact, by the way, under the Florida State Sunshine Law, all programming done, all software written for any government in Florida is, by definition, open source. And these are written by civil servants who are getting paid good wages and health insurance.
Socialism at its best. Once again, why don't you give me your names?
I'm Robin Miller, commonly known as Rob Limo on Slashdot, and I'm the editor-in-chief for OSDN, and some people say my title should be Instigator-in-Chief.
All right. Thanks. Okay, we're sitting here in San Francisco at the Linux, what is this thing called?
Linux World Expo.
The Linux World Expo. And I'm speaking with
Walt Fescheck.
And you were explaining just a few moments ago about your interest in Linux and the distribution of the software. So maybe you could go into a little bit of, and explain to our listening audience.
What I'm looking at is I'm looking at putting Linux on an equal playing field with the Microsoft. And the reason why I want to do this is for not only cost savings, but giving Linux the visibility and also giving the open source community the visibility so we could save money over the long term and also to develop an interest in the public, to pursue their interest with their legislatures, with the city council, with the county government, with the state government officials. What I propose to do is either or. Either I establish a .org not-for-profit so I could personally lobby the city, town, state, and federal governments, or I would like to join an organization, a not-for-profit, that perhaps is already out there lobbying for equal time with Microsoft on the city, town, county, and state levels.
What about just going to your local county office or your local political meetings and presenting this concept?
That's viable, to go to different meetings. But see, some of the hurdles that we have to overcome are the fact that most of the legislatures today in office aren't really computer savvy, but they know that Microsoft is out there. It's a juggernaut and a force. So they rather would buy Microsoft than to go out there and look at any type of competition or competitive environment.
So you're saying it's going to take a concerted effort?
Oh, definitely a concerted effort for the people to set their goal and their objective clearly, to really understand the function of the government at that level that they are going to communicate with, and know the rules, know the regulations, know what they could say, know what they can't say, and most of all, know the political process.
What are the issues that would make actually Linux a better program than the Microsoft? Or what are the reasons that you would want to use Linux?
We're looking at Linux in terms of my first thoughts are about the enterprise environment. And I say the enterprise environment because that's the largest area in which Microsoft goes out there. And they bill the government $700 per server in the area. And I perceive that with Linux, not only would we have the cost savings, the cost benefit of about perhaps 20% of what Microsoft charges, but we're also going to have the 24/7 actual live up and running systems. I'll give you an example about Microsoft. I run Microsoft 2000 in a .org that I was associated with. Anytime we have a power failure or a brownout and our server crashes, we have to go through to each individual workstation to bring it up. Now, with a Linux machine and Linux network, there are offices and networks throughout the country where they do have power offs, they do have power failures, but the system actually boots itself and comes up without any system admin interference. That's a cost savings win in itself. So we have not only the cost savings, we have performance, we have reliability. And also, the Linux takes our next step forward into the open source community.
When you said enterprise, what does that word mean? I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, we're looking at enterprise. We're looking at homogeneous systems. For example, you have Novell, Windows, Unix, Linux, Solaris, and all these operating across, say, the federal government level through many states, say, through all 48 states. We're looking at enterprise also within companies such as IBM with their huge magnitude of computers and services throughout there within the organization. Another area I like to focus in on, for example, the Department of the Interior in Washington, D.C. has their own GSA schedule. That means their government service administration schedule for preferred vendors. And what this means is that when they want equipment or they need equipment, they go right to that particular schedule. And most of it's all locked in with Microsoft. Now, if they had a preference, and many of the scientists there really prefer Linux over Microsoft, they would rather go in and put Linux down alongside of Microsoft and put it in the bid process so that they would have equal time in being on a, playing on a fair playing field.
All right. Well, that sounds like a pretty simple request.
Well, it does sound like a simple request, but once more, we have the bureaucracy to go through, and we have different levels of government, town, city, county, federal, and the people really have to know the government and the operations and how they work and know the system cold. They have to go in there having their homework done, having goals clearly defined, and calling the politicians on their responsibilities and most importantly, giving the politicians a call to action.
What are the sites that people could go to get more information about Linux working with their particular county government projects?
I believe SourceForge is one on the web, where they do have people out there who are have an interest in lobbying government. But I'm just on the surface area now looking at that. I would say to go to a general Linux site and look at the Linux site or go to, say, Google and type in on the reference, type in open source for government.
Okay, and once again, we're speaking with?
Walt Fezchek.
All right, and you're with?
I'm with linuxpower.com and also modelsofhope.org, a not-for-profit that's building an intergenerational village for foster children and seniors in elder care. A new concept.
And where is that?
That's located in San Jose.
All right, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just saw someone I needed to connect with.
Oh, great.